like deep presence, like deep, deep presence, and the ability within that, the ability to be what with whatever arises. Like if it's my tears, if it's my contraction, if it's suddenly, this feels not right, like someone who has the ability to be with that and not take that personally, and to ride with that fucking wave and to stay and hold in those moments, combined with the ability to trust himself deeply. And we were talking about that earlier, like the risk of just like not like to go, oh, I'm gonna kind of like grab her on the neck, but not really. Like, I wanna fucking feel like the like him backing himself. And that just like direction, and just like, yes, I'm fucking backing myself.
Yo, 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 lovers, welcome, welcome, welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. We're the O'Neills. You're here with Megan Jacob.
And this is the place we have really uncensored conversations about sex, intimacy, and relationships. We're super excited you're here. Enjoy this episode.
Lola Richie, would you like to come up onto the stage? Ooh! So, we'll stand for now. It's really funny because both of these women I met at a self-pleasure circle. Not the same self-pleasure circle, but both of them at our own unique pleasure circles, we were sitting next to each other. Self-pleasure. And that is how I met Lola, and then that is how I met Eleanor. But you, yes, Manny was also there, that's all. But yeah, I met Lola at a self-pleasure circle, and then we ended up doing our sex, love, and relationship coaching certification together and became very connected through that. So Lola is not only a very beautiful friend of mine, but she is a very incredible coach, and I've been on the end of your coaching and our training as well. And yeah, you're just so embodied in your work, and you have such a powerful perspective on tantra and feminine energy. And Lola also not only holds women, and you do yoni massage and other beautiful practices, but yeah, you're really powerful at holding couples and men in the world of sex and intimacy too. So I'm so fucking excited for your perspective tonight in answering questions. Thank you for being here. The beautiful Eleanor Hadley, can you come to the stage again? Woo! So I was self-pleasuring. I made a joke because these two were the first guests we had on the podcast, and I was like, that's actually the ticket to get on our podcast. You must self-pleasure beside me to be a guest. But yeah, we met at Lola's place, and I just like immediately, and I'm sure you felt this already with Eleanor in the space, but what I love about you as a sex coach and sex educator is you bring it in such a relatable, accessible way. And I've said that to you before, and you said, yeah, I just want to feel like people's best friend that they're getting to chat about sex and intimacy and relationships with. And you do that so beautifully, and you're so incredibly inclusive and accessible in your work, and I'm, again, so excited to have you here tonight on the panel and your expertise. Yay! Okay, are we ready to get sexy and launchy and, yeah, answer lots of questions?
It's time.
Okay. Basically, shut the fuck up.
Sit down.
Okay, we'll sit down.
Would you like these questions first?
Let's answer those questions first. If you want to read them out.
Okay. First one. Going straight for it. What position do you all deem the best for women's orgasm that stimulates both clit and cervix?
Okay, personally, I believe that woman on top is a vibe. I recently did like a little reel about like how to ride. So many people have these questions, like, do I just, like, bounce around? And, you know, yeah, maybe that would be fun for, like, the penis owner. But I think that there's a real sweet spot where when you're on top, I don't know how to demonstrate. How do I do this without like flashing everybody? I'm gonna go on the floor. Okay, so we're like down here, right? And so often when people are thinking of riding, they're just like, oh, I'm just gonna like bounce around. And like that's all well and good. But I think the magic is when imagine my legs are okay, but they're not gonna be right now. Imagine like you're leaning forward, right? And your lover is here, they're like all up inside. You're leaning forward, and then you have the grind. I like to call this the slide and grind. So rather than the bounce, we slide and we grind. So we're kind of doing like a little like circular motion with our hips so that we get that clit kind of action like up against the pubic mount. Delightful. But then we also have that deep penetration as well. So we get like all up in it. A little bit of G-spot action, a little bit of cervix, if you like that full feeling, and you've got the clit action going. So I think that's a really good one, the sliding grind. Oh, well, the slide is like the in and the out. The grind is the in. Yeah. Thoughts and feelings?
I love that. I'm going to try that. I just love from behind with a dead idea. That's one of my favorites. And I feel like the angle of my body, I like to be pressed very close up against a wall, and I feel like that angle is like very good for, you know, cervical stimulation. That's me. I also feel like a lot of the time, and this is where like learning female pleasure anatomy is really powerful, that a lot of the time we need to, it can take a woman's pussy is like this whole ecosystem. And the clit, we know like the head of the clit, right? The part that we see. But there's actually this whole other, you know, body and legs of the clitoris. So when we're actually taking the time to, you know, massage the vulva and give the whole pussy some love, we're actually helping to engorge the entire pussy and even the internal walls of the vagina, which actually means that when we're being penetrated, you know, with whatever it is, internal stimulation is going to feel a whole lot better. And I feel like a lot of, you know, men or women do not know this. So a lot of women have challenges of, you know, experiencing internal pleasure. And it's not that you're broken or it's not that that's not meant for you. A lot of the time it's we're just not honoring the journey that it takes to be ready and to be like, yeah, juiced up and engorged. Like if you think of a penis, it has erectile tissue. We see a penis become erect and hard. We as women have just as much erectile tissue, but a lot of that is going on internally. And it's beautiful, this is for the women. If you self-pleasure in front of a mirror, you will see this. You will see your pussy become engorged. You will see that the anatomy and the way your pussy looks, the color, the texture, you know, all of it becomes very different. So I think that's a huge part of not necessarily always position, but foreplay in the lead up to penetration as well. Do you have thoughts on this?
I feel like this really speaks to how every woman has such a different experience like of her pleasure and how every woman really likes something different. And, you know, even though we all have like the same parts, they're often organized in like slightly different ways. And so, like, yeah, for some women, G-spot stimulation, you know, that can be stimulating the clitoris, but from a different angle, like that can feel super pleasurable for some women, but then, you know, because of the way that it's mapped out in a different woman, it might not feel quite as pleasurable. And so I feel like it's really important to tune into what your unique woman in front of you really loves and have that open communication with her. Personally, I love to be lying down like missionary with a pillow under my hips to like lift me up and then you can just like lunge a little deep inside of me. That's for cervical stimulation. I'm kind of a gal, so I always have a hand touching at all times, and so, but I also love doggy, like you as well, because it's just like that openness where you can just get deep in. Yeah, you know, it makes sense.
Awesome. Next question. So this one's a little more on the relationship side. This one's separated 15 months ago, married 10 years. In the last 6 months, I've been with a few women, but I'm not enjoying sex. There's pleasure, and we both climax, but I'm just left feeling empty in the end. I love the lead up, dating, meeting the woman, talking about life. And that is, there's not really a question there, but I'm thinking of the, I'm just left feeling empty in the end is the,
yeah,
the sort
I
of
feel
the
like
essence there.
We can get the question at anyone.
What I'm hearing in that is that there's a desire for deeper heart connection during sex. I find that, I'll speak from personal experience and from what I've heard from clients and people around me, is that when you have sex that leaves you feeling super empty in the end, it's because it's not connected to your heart and it's not approached with a level of intention and deep awareness as to like why you're going into this interaction and having a really beautiful, open-hearted, vulnerable communication with the person that you're having sex with, so that there's this like level of mutual trust and safety and like, hey, we both understand what we're getting in for here and like, what does this mean, and et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like, you know, without that intention, without that awareness, without that connection to the heart, then even if it's like super sexy because you're both getting off on the sexual stimulation, it's kind of like, oh, but now I'm left feeling like a shoulder here. So yeah, I find whenever I go into an interaction with intention, the awareness of like why I'm going in, what I want to get out of it, and having that open communication and really, you know, being open in my own heart, being willing to open to reveal my truth and to have that level of vulnerability coming from somewhere there, and then that's when sex becomes deep, it becomes sexy, it becomes rich, and it's pretty fucking hard to have empty sex in that place.
I love that answer. I would simply just say within the empty, the only thing I'd add is like within the emptiness you're feeling is a desire. And it's your job to like really get honest with yourself and like, oh, what desire is, yeah, coming forth from this emptiness? Because this is like a, it's in service, the emptiness is in service to the best sex and best relating experiences you're about to have. And it's if you listen to the emptiness, that's when you'll find that like depth of desire that's really wanting to come through.
I think I'll just add as well, you know, trying to take the pressure off yourself as well, because that deep heart connection that you might be craving, it takes time. You can't just like build that immediately. And so kind of give yourself that grace to know that if you're seeking that depth and the sex that feels really fulfilling, it might take some time with this person and to build, and sex can just get better. Actually, you two can attest to this. Being together for such a long time, it builds. You know, it's not at the start, it can be very physical, but then once you build that emotional connection and that trust, then you're probably going to feel that deeper connection and fulfillment as a result. Yeah.
Awesome. We have no more questions. Does anyone have a question for the panel that they'd like to ask? Hands up. Kick us off.
And I'm just going to add, if you want one of us, because I think for time's sake, probably all of us, I'm going to answer every question. So if there's a particular person, you're like, I want Lola to answer this, like, just ask for that. If you don't have any preference, it's going to be whoever.
Are you going to follow those rules, though?
This one's for you, Mick, and it's around pleasure tools, self-pleasure tools. What is your favourite one, and how often do you bring it into the bedroom, and how do you introduce it into the bedroom with the man? I know you've got a whole drawer full, that's what I'm asking you.
I love the question. Favourite pleasure tool is Cervix Serpent 2.0 from Hermes Pleasure Palace. I just feel like that wand is just like so versatile. You can use it for de-armoring, so you can use it for healing, you can use it, it's amazing for, you know, cervical stimulation, so for anyone that's wanting to, you know, bring more pleasure into the cervix, that's incredible. It's also got some ridges, so it's amazing for G-spot stimulation, amazing. Great all-rounder. how do we bring... I think it depends. I would bring ones in every so often, not every time we make love. I'm just asking. I'm like, am I correct yet? Yeah, we would probably bring ones. I would bring a wand in maybe every so often. And I'm just trying to think back to when I started, when we first brought it in. It was actually a mutual decision. We bought the first wand together. And I remember this is a lot of information. We'd actually just tried Angel for the first time, very unsuccessfully. And we were like, oh, we want an Angel wand to like start playing with that. So we jumped on Yogi Pleasure Pals together and we got this wand called the Black Mamba. And I remember being we were just like so excited for it to arrive, and that was a really incredible wand. So that together, that was like a conversation we had. I was definitely already on like my path of sexual awakening and like beginning to really self-pleasure and explore myself. So those conversations were already being had in our relationship. So that was almost just like the next step. Yeah.
Do you want anyone else to answer that question? You guys like to share it all?
Okay, maybe just like quickly favorite one.
Favorite pleasure. Okay, so my favorite pleasure tool, it's called the Double Entendre by Frenchie. And it's like this long, and it bends like this way, so you can do a little G-spot and clit action, but then it kind of twists as well, so you can do a little survey situation. You can also like bend it so you can use it for anal. It is the most versatile thing ever, and it vibrates as well if you wanted to, and it's just delicious and amazing.
My favorite is the Black Obsidian Curve from the Yoga Pleasure Palace. So it's like a kind of bulbous head and then like a thinner curved handle. And it's black obsidian, so it's really beautiful, like drawing in any negative energy. It's heavy and it's earthy and it's rich and it's dense. And I just like love that energy inside of me. And it's great because it hits all the right spots. It can reach down to your cervix, but it's also great for massaging the inner wall. It's great for deodorant as well. I'm
saying
that
I've wanted
to
keep
that during the flight. It's my favourite self-pleasure tool.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Next question.
Do you ever feel, I know you're a laugh, not jealous of these amazing tools? This is a serious question.
Not really, no. I'm not too worried about it. To be honest, I can see how I would feel that, but I feel like they're just an amplification of what's already there for us. But I can see how sometimes that can feel like, oh, I'm being replaced. But for me, it only amplifies the pleasure for me and for how we have sex. Yeah, it's never felt like a replacement, if that's the question. Yeah, it's always felt like an amplification rather than, oh, I'm being replaced, or this is a substitute for my pop.
And I feel like anytime we're using a wand or you using a wand on me, it's very much you witnessing me. So it's not necessarily us in a like union of sex. It's you witnessing me in my pleasure and in my expression. So it's a totally different texture to bring into the bedroom, I would say. Yeah.
Awesome.
Next question.
Anyone else got a question?
I don't want to answer this maybe back from the relationship perspective. When you're wanting to explore something super new, what's the strategy? Do you just like pop it in the bedroom, like let's give it a go? Or is it like let's sit down, talk to this, speak into it, and yeah, finally you've got something else to have?
I would say, well, I know you guys already have access to the desire date that we created, so I would say do that. And anyone else, Jacob and I created it for ourselves 5 years ago when we wanted to like amp up our sex life. We wrote out all these questions and then we went away like separately and answered the questions. So it was like, when's the best sex we've had together? What fantasies do we have? What's like the deepest desires? What do we find like sexiest? Like all of these different things. We went away, answered them separately, and then came back together and just like shared. It was so hot. And then we just like had all these things to play with, and we just had, yeah, it was just a doorway to just epic sex and just really expansive sex. So we've then created it as like a date night experience. It's like $27. So if you're, you know, in partnership or have a lover, it's like such an epic way to have those kind of conversations in a very non-judgmental, or in a space where there is no judgment. So I think that can be the deepest fear, right? Of like, I'm going to bring this, and I can be shamed for this. Because let's be honest, there was just like a lot of shame that is ingrained in us to feel around sex. And something that I would ask each of you to practice in, you know, your sexual experiences is if your partner does bring something new, and if you have like a, oh, like a repulsion or like a, oh, I don't want to fucking do that, like, you can own that and you can feel that, but do not project that onto your partner. So an example of this is if your partner comes to you and is like, I would love to try anal, how would you feel about that? And for you, you're like, that's fucking dirty and gross. And it was so easy to be like, ew, I can't believe you want to do that. Why would you fucking want to do that to me? That's so gross. Right? And to almost like push it back, to push your shame onto them. So my biggest invitation in this is as the if you're receiving your partner's desire, is to, you don't necessarily have to be a yes, no way. You can say, oh, I have a lot of resistance coming up, or oh, there's a lot of shame coming up for me right now. Right now I'm a no, but tell me more about why that excites you. Or tell me more about why that would be something you want to do. Can we feel that? Can we like feel the difference of, yeah. And then in terms of bringing it, I'm like such an advocate for leading with vulnerability, you know, to be like, this feels really fucking scary and gritty and I'm nervous to say this, but I'm open to hearing something that I've got to say. And just when we like own that we're nervous, we're already like opening up this like beautiful space to be held in vulnerability. And I'm just such an advocate for that, especially in terms of things in the bedroom. And then my other piece to that, if you are the one sharing it, is to not expect your partner to be a yes, and to not take their maybe or their no or their not right now personally, because you can own your desire fully and bring something to the space, and they are completely allowed to be a no or to be a that makes me a little scared, tell me more, right? And that's actually such a healthy space to grow your sex life from, because no one's feeling a pressure, and then you're able to bring things safely and without judgment, but there's not a level of pressure or expectation. Yeah. Of course, again.
So a lot of what you're talking about is that idea of like a yes, no, maybe. I'm assuming that you have like a yes, no, maybe list as part of that date, right?
Oh, okay.
So the idea of a yes, no, maybe list is just a list of desires or sexual acts, things to try. So, you know, like anal, maybe it's rimming, maybe it's bondage, like anything. And you sort of go through it, each of you, yes, no, or maybe. And the yeses, you can kind of compare and say, oh yeah, great, these are a whole bunch of new things that we can try together, they both match up. If there's one of you is a yes and one of you is a maybe, then it's like, cool, this is something up for discussion. If any of you do know, then it's just sits off the table. And so it's a really fun activity. And so you can kind of go through that yes and maybe list together. There's also a really wonderful app that I would suggest. It's called X Confessions. And it's kind of like a yes and maybe list, but in like a Tinder swipe kind of style. So you'll get a bunch of different desires coming up, or sexual activities or positions, whatever. And you can just go yes, no, swipe around like a little game. You can connect your partner, so you can both play, and then you get notified. You know, Meg wants to try this. Be like, ooh. And it'll tell you which ones you matched on. And this is really great, especially if you have maybe the discomfort around saying, I want to do this, but I don't know how it will respond. Obviously, I always, you know, leading with vulnerability. Like you said, I think it's great to have the conversations regardless. But it's just really, it makes it really fun, because then you have a whole like stored list in your phone of like, these are the things we're trying, or which one are we choosing next day and night. Very fun. X Confessions. Yeah, very fun.
Next question.
Does anyone have a question? So Emma and Jack.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a word discussion.
So the book Existential Kink, it's like right in the bedroom, there's so much kink I can walk, it's like that I love, that I'm comfortable with. And there's so much happy, even discomfort as well. So I would love to hear from one of you, or all of you, what your transmission would be if, like, there's something you're shaming but you want your partner to make love to it in your body. Like, how you would bring that, and, yeah, I feel like part of my deepening is actually releasing the shame of so much of things and desiring to be comfortable with that.
I love this question. I'm a huge fan of existential kink and shadow work, so skipping my language. And this is something I actually invite my clients into a lot, is actually like bringing forth the parts of you that you're most ashamed of, the parts of you that you're insecure about, the parts of you that are like, oh, this feels really fucking icky to be seen in, and so to be fucked in that is like, oh, a whole new level of vulnerability that's so fucking liberating. And so I think it depends on the context of what it is that you're holding the shame around, but I would invite you to get creative with this. Like, just a random example that's popped into my head. I had a male friend of mine come to me and he asked me for some advice. He's like, oh, like, I have all this shame because, you know, my girlfriend's so sexually liberated when she posts a photo of herself online. Like, it makes me so insecure. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, dude, like, fucking bring that shadow to the forefront. Like, let yourself feel that part of you that wants to fucking possess your woman and put her in a fucking cage. And set out a scene where you like put on a fucking collar and leash, and you know, obviously you're having a conversation beforehand, but it's like a way to really bring that shadow to the forefront where you can fully like play and exercise in that shadow in a healthy, conscious way, right? Which is super, super important, like the cleanliness of it, the intentionality of it, just like in BDSM when you are setting the scene, right? And so that's just like one of the various examples, but find a creative way to bring that shameful aspect of yourself first, like create a persona out of it or a character out of it, and you know, give it a name, and then play that character out, you know, and then explore how you can allow yourself to be fucked open by that in a fun, playful, happy way. That's my 2 cents.
All right, I want all three of your perspectives on this one. What traits does your ultimate lover possess in the bedroom? I don't want to put you in a box, but maybe like 3 to 5. Because I know Meg, you were just talk maybe say 20 or so.
What traits does my ultimate lover possess?
What are you doing definition
of a man who is really deeply embodied in his dark masculine, like a man who isn't afraid of the part of him that's either fuck and to kill, and like has a really deep capacity for violence, but has like the reins really fucking strongly tied in on that question of himself, where he's not like pushing it away and rejecting it and like, you know, fucking me, but you know, making sure it doesn't hurt me, but he's also not like actually just letting it loose and actually abandoning my boundaries, but he's being respectful and loving while bringing the force of that deeply masculine primal energy and like fully just taking me. Like when a man is embodied in that energy and he isn't afraid of it, and he lets that energy come out into all of his life, where he just like has this deeply penetrative energy where he like puts that into his business and he's not afraid to fucking go after shit and to make the decisions and to say the hard shit and to have the different conversations, that is for me my favorite trait for men.
I would say the combination, and I'm just going to give you two. I would say the combination of like deep presence, like deep, deep presence, and the ability within that, the ability to be what with whatever arises. Like if it's my tears, if it's my contraction, if it's suddenly, this feels not right, like someone who has the ability to be with that and not take that personally, and to ride with that fucking wave and to stay and hold in those moments, combined with the ability to trust himself deeply. And we were talking about that earlier, like the risk of just like not like to go, oh, I'm gonna kind of like grab her on the neck, but not really. Like, I wanna fucking feel like the like him backing himself. And that just like direction and just like, yes, I'm fucking backing myself. So those two combined. Yeah.
Delicious. For me, when I'm with someone, one of the biggest things, you know, along with presence is eye contact. You know, I've actually had to stop lovers and put a hand on their chest when we're making love and feel like, hey, like, look at me. Because it's this really big difference, you know, I think eye contact really portrays presence. It's like, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm not going to be anywhere else, I'm not thinking of anything else. I'm deeply with you. And I'm witnessing you, and I'm allowing you to be seen. And sometimes it's this difference between, oh wow, this is really beautiful, deep, present sex, and, or we're just fucking and I could be anyone. I don't want to feel like you're just fucking me because I have the right parts. I want to know that you're fucking me because you want to and because you care about me. Love the smell. And to follow on from that, what I love is this deep sense of reverence when I feel like they are worshipping me, I can't get enough. It's like I... that as though they feel blessed to be in my presence. Love that.
Don't take that. I'll leave it at that.
Who's got a question? Should I ask a question? Oh, okay.
So, I wonder if this is the exciting note that we call in our self-pressure as well as self-talk. And I wonder if we're going in a new relationship or we're playing inside with you, how do you bring up to people like, look, honey, sometimes I love to go on self-pressure talking with another woman. Right, like I notice that sometimes that can be quite shocking for them, yeah? And you have to like, who are you, right? What's going on here? So you have any advice on how to approach that for me?
And was the question specifically your own self-pleasure practice or going to like a self-pleasure circle? Okay, this is you.
Can you please repeat the question for me, please? And just bring the microphone in.
So the question is like, How do you say to a man, like, how can I express to a man that I also, like, I love him, like, I want to have a relationship 100%, but also that place for me is so important. Being in a place where I can meet other women and having that experience.
Like, how do you bring that to the man?
Yeah.
By having the vulnerable conversation, you're like, hey, I have something that's really important to me, like really fucking important to me, that feels a little bit edgy and vulnerable to bring to you, and I don't know how you're going to feel about this or what you're going to think about this, but I have this deep need and desire within my heart and within my sexuality to be in spaces with other women where we are exploring our pleasure and exploring our eros, and I mean, you can kind of have conversations around how far you go in that space. Like, is this just like a human circle where you know you might get naked on the full moon, like I'd lost the damage, or is it like a temple night where it's more of an open space of women connecting and being sexually intimate together? And so I want to make sure that we have that conversation as well as to like how open you want that space to be and why it's important for you
to be in spaces like that, because I totally get it, because I'm exactly the same, and that's why they pay to use microphone. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, it's just about having that open, vulnerable conversation and leading with, hey, I have this desire, this is important to me, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I really want to have this conversation, because this is, like, such a huge part of who I am as a woman. And, you know, what really fills me up and brings me a sense of aliveness and passion in my body. And, you know, naturally, you being in spaces like that is going to bring more of that juicy energy, not just into your body, but into your relationship as well. So it's all benefit to your relationship. And actually, I was just having this conversation with a client today. So I offer yoga massage. And a client that I had just in the last week, she came home and she was super open in her body. And she like came here and fucked her man, and had this really juicy sex, and then afterwards it was kind of like, oh, like started to get a little bit in his head about what it meant that she went to a woman to have this like sensual healing, therapeutic, but erotic experience with another woman. And so like I can, it's kind of along the same lines, you know, it's like, and it's all about having formal conversations and, you know, being willing to listen to how he feels about it and what it makes, what he might make it mean about himself as a man. It might bring up feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness, or, you know, it might not be enough. And so, yeah, being willing to have that vulnerability both ways.
Of course you can.
Amazing. I would also just encourage you to recognize that you have such bodily autonomy, and not to ever feel, and I don't know if this is how you ever have felt, but the need to ask permission to explore your own pleasure in a way that feels really good for you, especially because something like that is not breaking any sort of relationship agreement or boundaries. It's your body, and you get to explore your pleasure in a way that feels really, really good for you. And so recognizing that, yeah, maybe it might feel sticky or uncomfortable, or you might not understand it, but also just kind of having that sense of presence in the conversation of why does this make you feel uncomfortable? Can you explain to me what your thoughts are around this, and you know, what you might imagine this to mean about you, about me, about us, and then kind of moving through that, because it's always an invitation to explore more. It doesn't have to be like a fight or an argument or like, I'm going to do this and you're going to feel annoyed or whatever. It's just an invitation to be curious, like, okay, what things are in the way here, and how can we kind of sweep that away and move through it?
Yeah. Oh, something else I want to add quickly is something to keep in mind is that in conversations like this, you are coming up against thousands of years of patriarchy and suppression of women's pleasure for themselves, right?
And that is why I feel so uncomfortable putting that to the table. Like, every time that I want to go, I like, fuck, like, he's gonna kill me. This is the feeling that comes in from my own platform. This is gonna be dangerous.
Exactly, because we as women, like, if not on an individual level or a collective level, we do hold on to this internalized patriarchy and this fear of being abused or being burnt at the stake for expressing ourselves, especially in our sexuality. And so that's something to keep in mind as well, that it's such an act of a powerful rebellion and reclamation of your power as a woman by having these conversations and, you know, feeling if he has insecurity come up, if he has all these stories come up, like being willing to have those conversations. And like Eleanor said, you know, like standing in your power and, you know, knowing that you don't need someone else's permission to explore that. But obviously everyone's relationships, boundaries, and agreements are different. So yeah, I wanted to add that to your piece. Like, you're not just, this isn't just a personal relational piece, this is a huge collective piece around how we perceive women being in their pleasure, and especially being so vulnerable like we have for thousands of fucking years and yet have been burnt at the stake for. So keep that in mind too, you're healing not just yourself but fucking generations down the line.
Yes.
Do you feel complete?
Never.
Never.
Yes.
We are well out of time, so
okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lola. Where can just Instagram handle go?
At the Lola Amici.
Eleanor, Instagram handle.
Eleanor Happy.
Thank you, Bo.
Yo, 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 thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at the Jacob O'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.